So last week, Kelvin ministered. I listened, Kelvin, and tremendous, I believe. I will do my best to straighten out anything that you got crooked. He said that for y'all if you weren't here. Prior to Kelvin sharing, we were talking about reigning and ruling and how reigning and ruling is our destiny. It is our destiny to reign and rule in this earth and in the one to come. Amen? And then, Kelvin was talking about light, being the light, among other things like Wanda had shared, faithfulness and light. And I said, well, what does light have to do with destiny? What does light, what does being the light have to do with destiny? And that's what I want to talk about today. And we're going to find out. And I appreciate that scripture that you shared and referenced in speaking about Nikki and I about I believe, and again, I'll just reiterate, I know everything, but I can give what I do know, amen, and I can believe God that it is what you need to know in the time that we are in. And so I say all that because I want to help equip you for the days ahead. I want to help equip you for the days ahead. And, you know, what we share brings life. It brings life. It quickens your mortal bodies. When we share the Word of God, it quickens your mortal bodies. So I believe that as we as the Word goes forth, it can transform your physical body. It can make sound your mind. The Word of God has the creative ability to form things on the inside of you that may be missing. That's the power of the Word of God. That is the power of the Word of God. So what does light and destiny have to do? Well, we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll be sharing, I think, mostly out of the King James today. I may swap back and forth. Swap back and forth? Yes. Good enough. Jump back and forth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let me read this starting. Let's just start from the beginning. Verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says out of the King James, "This know also, that in the last days," how many know we're in the last days? "In the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." That's quite a list. That is quite a list. And I think that we can all agree that the days that we are in seem to be growing darker and darker and darker. I mean, it says that there are going to be so much darkness and pressure and temptation that men's hearts are going to fail them. The days are getting darker. This is kind of a sidebar, going back to voting in the election for some reason. I saw an interview with, and I can't give you the gentleman's name. I don't know his name. I believe he's a pastor. And he said that he received, and y'all, I'm just going to present it. Y'all take it for what it's worth. He said he received a dream or an insight or a prophecy. I can't remember how he put it. And he was talking about the midterm elections, and he said that, you know, when Trump was voted into office, they called it a red wave, And he said that this midterm is going to be like a red tsunami. A red tsunami. So I share that because let me just put it this way. And I'm getting ahead of myself, and I believe the Lord will straighten it all out. Whether you're believing for a red wave, a red tsunami, a certain individual in office, a certain other not, listen to me. That is not the answer. That is not the answer. We are the answer. You are the answer. The light that you hold inside of you is the answer. Now, there are things we have to do that we, you know, it is our privilege to vote. And we can elect and bring people into office that we believe will convey our values. And we need to do that. That's all part of it. But it's not the answer. Just like us looking to that land be sold, that is not the answer. Now, it is something that has to be taken care of. But we're not placing all our hope on that. We're not placing all our hope on who gets into the office of president in this country. That is not where our hope is. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen? A red tsunami, I wrote this down, will not turn the tide and get it flowing in the other direction. Tsunamis wreak havoc. No one president, prophet, dictator, Congress, judicial system is going to curb the darkness in this world. Why? Because it has been prophesied, the Bible is very clear, that times will get darker and darker. The only thing that can dispel, and that word dispel means make disappear, the only thing that can dispel the darkness is light. And I'll share, Billy Graham said this, I think, a couple years ago, the one thing will save America. One thing will save America. An awakening. An awakening to God. You know, not one president is going to save America. Not one Congress is going to save America. Not one judicial system is going to save America. One thing will save America, and that's an awakening to God. And that's up to you and me. That's up to us recognizing the light inside of us and sharing that light wherever we go. Turn to Genesis. Kelvin touched on this last week, and I believe he even shared this scripture. I believe, but I want to share it again because I believe it. It's going to speak life to you today. I know we say this, and we'll continue to say it every week. It's what you hear is going to be life changing. But you have to have an expectation for that, right? We say that all the time. One word from God can change your life forever, right? But you have to have an expectation of that. You have to have that expectation. Like Kevin, when he woke up, what was it on your mind? What did you say? How much God loves you. You have to have an expectation of how much God loves you. You have to have an expectation when you come in here that something is going to be shared. If you believe that Nikki and I are gifts placed in this body. And if you believe we hear from God, then you must expect that something we share is going to impact you. It's going to change you. Amen? And I'm not saying that to put focus on me. This, and I'm going to get to this. I'm going to tie this all. This can happen in your life wherever you are. Amen? But he shared this. He's, God is light. The Word is light. And you and me are light. God is light. The Word is light. Right? I think he shared that scripture. The Word is a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. We know from the Word that God is light. And that we know from the Word that you and I, the light inside of us, we are light. We're to be a light to this world. So, Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 1 here out of King James. Yeah. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm going to frame this, and I believe that it is going to impact you in a way that is going to help you in your everyday walk with God and how you function in this earth. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters and said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. What do we glean from that scripture? There was darkness. There was darkness. But then God exploded on the scene. He said, light be is really the translation. Light be. God is light. God introduced himself into that situation. And light exploded on the scene. We call this the, and I haven't done it in a couple weeks, huh? The exploding. What? Word. What is the word? Light. The exploding word and worship center. We are exploding with the light. We are the light. We're exploding. That scene in Genesis where light is just, he steps on the scene and it explodes. That should be us, man. When we're going out in our community, our light should be exploding out into our community. He separated the darkness from the light. Darkness and light cannot coexist. They can't coexist. They can't be in the same place at the same time. It's impossible. Have you ever seen darkness overtake light? Where there was light and suddenly darkness was introduced and you couldn't see? Has anybody witnessed that? No. No, what is to happen for the darkness to overtake the light? What has to happen for darkness to overtake the light? Now, y'all, I know y'all are astute enough and you're spiritual enough. I'm talking about kingdom darkness, kingdom of light now, right? Everybody get their cell phones out. Everybody get their cell phones out. This is one time in church. You can get your... Now, don't check your emails and don't respond to that text that popped up while you were in here. Everybody get your cell phones out that have them and turn on your flashlight. If you have a flashlight app, you can do that. If not, just illuminate your screen. Amen? Everybody got them? No, we're not going to say. So what has to happen for darkness to overtake light? Let's turn all the lights out in the sanctuary. And put the screen to black if you can, Tim. Keep your cell phones on. Oh, we got too many lights up here. I forgot about all these. All right. Well, you'll just turn that one off too in the back, please. You know what? I'm just going to do it. So, what has to happen for darkness? Man, we got a lot of lights. Gee, Dusty, who turns all these things on every time? You got to run around and do everything. Turn that one up off there too in the sanctuary. That's in the stairwell. Thank you. Get some black construction paper, put it up on those. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody shine their lights up. Can you all see? What has to happen for darkness to overtake light. Everybody turn your phones off. Waiting on you, Teresa. Yeah. Well. No, we have one over there. Who was that? Back in Joy. Joy, we're waiting on Joy. What has to happen for darkness? We have to what? Activate. For darkness to overtake light. I don't know what I'm doing here. Well, I just messed up my whole thing, didn't I? For darkness to overtake light, the light simply has to go out. Thanks, Judy. The only way that darkness can overtake the light is for the light to go out. Let me repeat that, because I know you can't see me. The only way for darkness to prevail, for darkness to overcome, for darkness to succeed, for the kingdom of darkness to prevail, the only way for that to happen is for the light to go out. You can bring the lights back up. You are the light of the world. The only way darkness is going to prevail over this earth is if you, the light, go out. What has happened to this nation over the years? People's lights have gone out. We have allowed our lights to go out. Your presence should expose the enemy who cloaks himself in darkness. When you show up in your sphere of influence, your light should be dispelling, making disappear the darkness and expelling the enemy. That means forcing him out. Let me say that again. When you show up in your sphere of influence, and your sphere of influence is where you're planted. It could be an industry. It could be an education. It could be in business. It could be in religion. It could be in retail. It could be in wherever you are. Do you see what I'm saying? Wherever you're planted, that is your sphere of influence. And when you enter into your sphere of influence, your light should be shining so bright that it affects all those around you. You see, you don't have to have a pulpit ministry to affect things for God in this earth. In fact, we're all called to different areas. We are all called to different areas. The area you are in right now, that's where you're called. How about that? And when your light shines, listen, it might not be all roses, right, Kelvin? In fact, if it is, you may want to question, hey, am I doing this right? Am I letting my light shine? Am I letting my light shine in a way, not that's going to get you fired, but that's going to impact lives? Because the only thing for darkness to take over that has to happen is our light has to go out. This I wrote this down from class this morning. Says we are in the right place doing the right thing, and the enemy doesn't like it. When your light is going forth in your sphere of influence, when you're in that right place, doing the right thing, the enemy doesn't like it. And it's going to rear its ugly head. And it's going to come after you. It'd be like that, the demoniac coming up to Jesus. Ah! Son of God, what do I have to do with you? Or what do you have to do with us? Y'all know that scripture? What was happening there? Jesus, the Word, the light was exposing the enemy trying to cloak itself in darkness. Can you imagine? Walking into Walmart and you trying to get your Cheerios down the aisle and people, ah! Stay away from me! I know the one in you. I mean, can you even fathom that? I mean, it happened to Jesus. Aren't we to be imitators of Jesus? Aren't we carrying Jesus in us? Stay away from me. You son of light. It was the Word. It was Jesus. It was the light. The light is Jesus. He was exposing the enemy hiding in the darkness in that individual that was... I mean, the enemy was so strong in that individual, they had to bind him with chains and fetters, it says, and he would break them and terrorize the people running around naked, living in the tombs. But the light was introduced and it broke all of that off of that person. You know what was interesting? As I read that, it said, he asked, you know, what is your name? And they responded, Legion, because we are many. There were many demons. This individual was possessed by many demons. And they were trying to reason with him. They said, well, don't cast us into the deep. Don't cast us into the bottomless pit. Let us go into those pigs over there. And you know what? Jesus obliged him. I'm still trying to... But what happened after that? Ooh, they ended up in the deep anyways, in the water. This is what our light does. It exposes the enemy. And it's not pretty sometimes. And we need to expect that. We need to expect that there will be tribulations, there will be trials, there will be people coming against us. But what does the Word say? Count it all joy. Count it all joy when these things happen to you. Because you're walking in the will of God. You're walking in light. Amen? I got to wrap this up. Be sure and know that a fire is coming. It ain't no red wave. It ain't no red tsunami. It's an explosion of light. It's called you and me and us together as the body. We are the children of light. I'm going to skip that scripture right there. And I'm going to go to Isaiah 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Verse 2, and I know that Isaiah here is prophesying about Israel, the future of Israel, but it has consequence leading up to Israel being glorified. And in verse 2, it says this, and let me read this out of King James because I said it would. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. The darkness shall cut. Now, this is time leading up, okay? I know this is time leading up to Israel being glorified. But it says that the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. You know, I've preached for years that there's a growing chasm, I called it, a growing chasm between believers and unbelievers. You know, I believe there was a day when they walked side by side, but as time has gone on, that there's been a chasm formed, and that chasm is getting wider and wider. And in the sense that I share that, there's going to be a point where, you know, when it's right side by side, you can jump back and forth pretty easy. When that gap gets a little while, you know, you can still back and forth pretty easy. But as that chasm grows wider and wider, you're going to have to choose a side. You're going to have to choose a side. I've preached that for years, but I've gotten revelation just in this about darkness and light now. And I believe that it's not so much a chasm, but there's going to be... the darkness is going to get grosser and the light is going to get brighter. The light is going to get brighter and the darkness is going to get grosser. And the contrast will be more extreme. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. We win. Reggie, it's winning time. We win. We win. We are children of the light. We win. But that does not, what's the word? That does not disqualify. That does not, absolve us. That's a good word. From doing what we're supposed to be doing in this earth right now. It is not an excuse to say, oh, well, we win in the end. We know how the story ends, so I can just cruise along. No, we got work to do. Amen? Kingdom of God suffers violence every day, but we, the violent, have to take it back by force. I wrote this. Do you know why you carry the solution to what is tormenting others? Do you know why you carry the solution to what is tormenting others? Because it ain't tormenting you. And people notice that. When they're laying off 1,500 people at Volvo, Kelvin doesn't get worried about it. He don't let it affect his demeanor. He don't snap everybody's heads off that comes up to him talking about this and that and who's going to go and who's not. Whose heads are rolling today. No. Why? He don't allow it to torment him. And this isn't a real situation. I just made that up. Has been. He doesn't let that torment him. And that you can take that into whatever area of sphere of influence that you're in, whether it's job or relationship or, you know, wars. Oh, a terrorist attack could come and wipe us out any day. People in fear over that. Well, you don't have to be in fear about that. You have the answer for what is tormenting someone because you are not tormented by it. Someone gets the news that they have cancer in their body. Well, you can minister to that person. Why? Because you're not tormented by that. You ought not be tormented by any of these things. What allows you to not be tormented is nothing more than your relationship with the Most High, Creator of the universe. The closer you are with Him in relationship, I'm telling you, the more peace you're going to have in this earth. No matter what comes your way. No matter what comes your way. 1,000 may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come nigh you. Or your house. Because you stand on the Word of God, you have relationship with the Most High. You believe in His Son, Jesus. You believe that He died for you. You believe that He received all your sins upon His body. All your sins, past, present, and future. And delivered you. I got to close. Living the abundant life is ruling and reigning. When you are not tormented by sickness, despair, death, disease, addictions, depression, you are being a witness to all and a testimony of the Most High God by letting your light shine brightly. So what does light, being light, have to do with destiny? It's all intertwined. It is your destiny to be light in this earth. And when you are light, you are reigning and ruling because you are living the abundant life, not letting all these things affect you. And just like in the beginning, God brought light to the darkness and order to the chaos. We're to do the same thing wherever we are. Not just our little safe sanctuary right here. Wherever we are, your sphere of influence. Whether, like I said, you're in education, you're in retail, you're in industry, you're in religion, wherever you may be, you're retired. Your sphere of influence is where you're to be taking that light and bringing order to chaos. You know, when people are going through things like sickness, disease, cancer, there is chaos going on. And you're to bring order to that chaos. Just as God did, He introduced the light to the darkness, and the darkness had to go because they cannot coexist. You are the light of the world. Wherever you go, darkness must flee. Shrieks of terror will be following you wherever you go. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee. And that word means flee in stark terror. He will be crying out. He will be shrieking as he leaves. Ah, Son of God, what do I have to do with you? You say, that's right. Get on out of here. So, just let your light shine. Be a light. Be a light wherever you go. God has placed you where you are at to be a light. Amen? Yes. He gives us all purpose. And we've been talking about it for almost a year now, getting in alignment with our assignment, finding out what our assignment is, getting in alignment with it. And that's where you'll see true, true deliverance. Not only in your life, but in the people around you as well. That's why I believe Operation School Guard is a tremendous thing. Because one, and I'll go back to Billy Brim saying that one thing will save this nation. And she said some other things, but it is an awakening that she referenced. And I believe with all my heart that awakening, and some are calling it the third great awakening in this great country, because there have been two others, but I fully am convinced and persuaded, unless God or His Holy Spirit tell me otherwise, I believe that third great awakening is going to come through the youth of the day. And so it is very important, vital, Operation School Guard, that we continue in this, that we're faithful in it. Put up James chapter 5, verse 16 in the Message, please. So why are we praying for these students? Why are we praying for these children of the New River Valley? Because we believe that prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. Right? We believe that. Do we have that, Tim? Make this your common practice. Yes. I want to confess your sins. Well, I want the second part. Sorry, yeah. The prayer, and I love how it reads in the Message. The prayer of a person living right with God
is something powerful to be reckoned with. Our prayers are something to be reckoned with. The enemy has to reckon with our prayers, and guess what? They're going to get wrecked because our prayers are powerful. So as you're praying for these students, and if you want to get involved, you still can. We can make notebooks up for schools in the New River Valley. If you're not involved with that, if you don't have a notebook or you want to get involved and don't know how, see myself or Wanda or Missy, and we can get a notebook in your hand if you didn't take advantage of that when we introduced that. Initiative. It's really a prayer initiative for the New River Valley. But know that your prayers are powerful. And when you pray according to the will of God, you are a force. That is a force to be reckoned with. And that your prayers go forth and they change. We're believing the atmosphere in the schools of New River Valley is being changed, transformed. And when that happens, then the kids are being impacted by the Word of God, and they may not even know it. They may not even understand it, but they're being changed. And they're impacting their environment. They're taking it back to their home and impacting their families, their friends. I'm telling you, an awakening is coming. An awakening is coming to this nation. And it is important to get out and vote. Yes, we want to do all that we can and all we're called to do. But that's not our source. That is not our source. But we are to do our part. We are to do our part. Amen? Y'all good? All hearts clear today? Father, we thank you. We come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And I thank you that every person under the sound of my voice has relationship with you, Jesus. If they do not, I believe that today is the day of their salvation. They've been maybe been pretending all their life to have relationship with you, but they've never really experienced that true, intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe. I believe this is their day. Today is their day. Today is their day of salvation. Today is the day when they get right with you. And I say this for someone who has been afar off. Oh, they've been here in body. But their soul has been diving into other things and doing other things. And they've played the part. They've kept up their image on the outside. But they've been dying and just cringing on the inside. Hallelujah. Your word is a lamp and a light. So I pray that that person walk in the light. They come in, they step into the light, and they gain that fruitful relationship with you. And it'll change their life. It'll redirect them. That fire will be reignited inside of them. Lord, I thank you for that individual. And it may be more than one. I thank you for the fire being reignited in that individual. I thank you for that relationship being rekindled, reborn, renewed, refreshed, revived. It's going to change their life. Change their life. Thank you for your word that has gone forth today. We receive it. I believe we've had ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And we're going to go and be that light and change our environment and our sphere of influence. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.